Okay, we're continuing with discussion from Raghunath Das Goswami Stavavali, one particular poem, Swa Sankalpa Prakasha Stotram. It's verse 3. In verse 2, we heard how he went to Radharani. He went to Lalita and asked her to please, went to Rupa Manjari, then Lalita, and they got inspired and took Rati Manjari or Raghunath Das to Lalita. Then she very patiently and humbly and affectionately and joyfully and repeatedly taught Rati Manjari lessons on how to write poems and plays and play veena and tell riddles and make riddles. And now this is verse number 3. He's saying, Alam man grantir nibritta chatu mokshaya nibritam mukunde ha haiti pratiyati nitantam mai jane tirartam gandharva charana patitam preksha kutilam kada prema kroryat prakara lalita bartsayati Mom. Ambarsayati, rebuking. One time Mukunda flatters me in private and cries out, alas, alas. And he asks me, the Manjari, to help him untie the knot of Radha's causeless man for some unknown reason. Radharani is showing a contrary and unfavorable mood of opposition towards Krishna. She says, go, I don't want to meet you. So then Krishna turns to the Manjari, Tulsi Manjari. Oh, alas, alas, please help me. Radharani won't meet me. She's showing man. She's in love, sulking, pouting. So then, for the sake of Krishna, I will go and fall at the lotus feet of Gandharva Radha. But at that time, when will harsh Lalita cast crooked glances at me and rebuke me out of loving cruelty? when Lalita sees me in Manjari Sroop, this is Raghunath Das Goswami praying, Lita sees me coming in front of Radharani and petitioning on behalf of Krishna. Then she becomes very angry and gives me dirty looks. Hey, what do you come? We don't want to, don't come here canvassing for that black snake. He's offended our Swamini and she doesn't want to meet him. Now what are you doing? So then she rebukes him out of loving cruelty. He says, Kruryat, like Akrura, Kruryat means cruelty. Prema Kruryat Bartsayati. It's a very interesting combination of Sanskrit words. One word is, it says, Preksha Kutilam Kada. When will Lalita look at me with Kutila? Kutila Iksha. Crooked glances. And then she will lovingly chastise me with lovingly and cruelly chastise me and rebuke me. So how do you have prema and then cruelty, love and hatred, or love and cruelty, and then rebuke somebody? This is only in the spiritual world. So he says, when will she give me dirty looks, crooked glances at me, and rebuke me out of loving cruelty? Very interesting. So why is Radharani angry? Nobody knows. It's causeless man or pik. So it's described in, by our Goswamis that the course of love is like a snake. The snake moves like this, crooked way, you know, snake. It doesn't walk straight. It goes like this. So love, this parakiya bhava, this unlawful, unwitted love of Radha and Krishna. Sometimes you meet, sometimes you don't meet. Sometimes for no reason your lover is saying, get lost, I don't want to see you. So you can't, it's crooked, it's not straight, it's not systematic, it's not predictable, it's unpredictable, the course of this love, because they're not married or not lawfully bound or legally tied. So it's, they say it moves like a snake, and that's how this man or this pouting, this contrary mood arises, sometimes with a cause and sometimes without a cause. So it says here that Radha's love and affection for Krishna can become so elevated that it takes the form of opposition. She loves him so much, she becomes opposed to him, and she becomes crooked. And that's a new manifestation of love and a new manifestation of sweetness called man. Because in the definitions and explanations of prema by our Goswamis, they say there's categories, intensities, and categories and levels of love. There's prema, but then prema has higher and higher subdivisions. Sneha, pranaya, man, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, modanakya mahabhav, and madanakya mahabhav. Madan mahabhav, divyon mad, and prajalpa, and chitragorna, madness, crazy talks, delirium practically in love. So this is the highest stage of madness in love. So here, this is an intermediate stage of this sneha going to man. So Radharani is called Manini, like she's the queen of man or contrary mood. So Krishna tries different ways and methods to remove Radharani's sulking, pouting, contrary mood of man. But everything he tries is in vain, it's unsuccessful. So then, somehow Krishna cannot find any way to please Priyaji. So he desperately turns to Radharani's kinkari, maidservant, Tulsi. And then Krishna comes and flatters her and says, "Please help me soothe Radharani's man." So this is the greatness of the Mandri's Bhav, that Jagatpati, Sri Krishna, the Lord of the universe, he humbly falls at the feet of Radharani's slaves. The Mandris are like Radharani's slaves. They massage her feet, they dress her, they bathe her, they run errands for her, they carry messages, they make arrangements, they carry food back and forth, anything. They're just gophers, they're humble servants. And Krishna is the God of gods, the Parameshwara, and he's falling at the feet of a humble servant. "Oh, please help me, because you're so close to the queen. Now the queen is showing me a Vrindavaneshwari, the queen of the Kunjas, Kunjeshwari, Radharani's Kunjeshwari, or Radhakundeshwari. Kundeshwari means, Ishwari means queen. Radharani's the queen of Radhakund, or the queen of the Nikunjas, the forest bowers and secret private groves in the forest of Vrindavan, the Kunjas, Nibritta Nikunj. So Radharani is the queen of Swamini. So here Jagatpati is falling at the feet of a humble, insignificant, one of thousands of maidservants begging for help. Very sweet. So this is the extraordinary position of the Mandris. So Krishna, he comes and he flatters the Mandris, because if you want someone to do some favor, then you have to flatter them. Sometimes the wives will flatter their husbands. "Oh, you're this or that, this or that." And he feels very good. "Oh, can I have some money?" You know, there's always like some lining, you know, some motive. So Krishna he's highly motivated. So he's flattering the Mandris. "Oh, you're so intimate servant of Radharani. You're so special, you're so near Radharani. Oh, please, you help me." So then he falls, Krishna even goes to the extent of falling at the feet of the Mandri and says, Oh, Kripa Kanya, oh merciful girl, oh Sundari, oh beautiful girl, please tell your Vrishabhanu Nandini, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, Radharani, please tell her how much I miss her and how much I'm suffering in separation from her. So this way Krishna shows his heartache to Tulsi by wailing and weeping. Listen, Mandris play such a big role. Because Krishna knows that if the Mandris are pleased, then Priyaji, Radha, will quickly give up her man. Because Radharani loves to please her Mandris, and they love to please her. And they're so innocent, and they're so dear and humble and surrendered to Radharani, her heart melts with compassion for her Mandris. So then somehow Tulsi Mandri consoles Shyamasundara and goes to Swamini Radha. Then a Mandri falls at Radha's feet and tells her of Nagar. Nagar means your romantic hero, your beloved, a romancer, Krishna's misery and agitation. The Mandri says, O Ishvari Radha, be pleased, please be pleased with me. Please abandon your causeless man, Ahoituki man. Your Nagar Mani, your crest jewel of all lovers, Sri Krishna, who is dearer to you than millions of your life heirs, is anxiously praying at the feet of a wretched maidservant like me. I can't tolerate to see this anymore. He is Mukunda. He can liberate you from your man just by his smile. How long will you maintain this unfavorable attitude? What do you want to accomplish by making your Prananath, the Lord of your life, suffer for no reason? Please tell me. In this way, the Mandri, Tulsi Mandri, anxiously falls at Gandharva's lotus feet and tries to make her favorable to Krishna again. But then fierce Lalita Sakhi is a little fierce. She understands that Nagar Krishna has sent, he's arranged, he's bribed this Mandri to Radha to soften her man, her sulky mood. So she comes into the kunj and she severely rebukes Tulsi, looking at her with crooked glances and saying with loving cruelty, Hey Tulsi, stop trying to soothe Radharani's man or sulky mood, choosing the side of that cheater. You're taking his side and supporting him. Get out of this kunj. You don't know the character of that cheater, that dort, that kapat kala nidhi. He always hurts my sucky Radha with or without reason, and he always makes Radha cry. And then Lalita takes the Mandri by her hand and she throws her out of the kunj. She says, get out from here. You're canvassing on for the opposite party. You're canvassing for the enemy party. So this is a very personal world, a very physical, it's metaphysical, but it's metaphysical, it's transcendental. Beyond the physical, it's divine, spiritual. But here there's so much pathos and emotion and drama and action. Krishna's collapsing at the feet of the Mandri, praying with tears in his eyes, please help me Mandri. And the Mandri feels emboldened. She says, yes, I'll help you. And she marches into the kunja and then she starts flattering Radharani and she falls at her feet as Krishna fell at the Mandri's feet. The Mandri falls at Radharani's feet and petitions Radharani on behalf of Krishna, please soften your anger, give up your anger, give up your haughty mood, give up your sulky mood, your antagonistic mood towards Krishna. Be good, be nice to him again. So Radharani's thinking, maybe, I don't know. Then Lita comes and says, what are you doing? So this whole display of Radharani's so-called unfavorable mood, man, is another flavor and stage of love. As I said, sneha man pranaya, pranaya man rag. So this is heightened, it heightens the emotions, it increases Krishna's ras, his taste and his pleasure, because he has to win Radharani's favor and he has to take a humble mood and somehow surrender to Radharani. So in this whole exchange, everyone increases their love, increases their happiness, and increases their bliss. So this is the shows here that of course the mandris, basically these prayers that Rati Mandri, Tulsi Mandri, Raghunath Das is in his Siddha Sarup in Boma Vrindavan, he's approaching Radharani, then other Sakis, Lalita, Vishaka, etc., learning different arts, singing and playing music and composing poetry and various arts we'll hear about. But here, in this particular verse, it's kind of an interlude, or let's say a flashback to some actual seva, where he's not approaching a Sakhi to learn some expertise in an art, but he is being approached, Rati Mandri, Raghunath Das, is being approached by Mukunda Sri Krishna, who needs his help. So here he's serving Krishna. So Mandris, sometimes people say, oh, if you worship Radharani and Mandri Bhav, Raghunuga Bhakti, you're just concentrating all your energy in Radharani, what about worshiping Krishna? But it's clear that Krishna, what greater service can you do to Krishna than to bring him his lover, arrange for him to meet his lover. So Krishna is even, he's taking, you know, the mandris are serving Krishna directly by becoming his mediator, his go-between, between him and he and Radharani, becomes the mediator, like the lawyer, to placate Radharani and win her favor for Krishna's advantage. So here, the beautiful service the mandris rendering to Krishna and to Radharani, and the mandris becomes an integral member of the whole rasa exchange, the whole kingdom of prema. The mandri is a key player, like a catalyst, to make it all happen. There's Radharani's unfavorable, contrary mood on one side, and Krishna's agitation, eagerness, and desire to meet Radharani, and she doesn't want to meet Radharani. Radharani says, no, I don't want to meet you. And Krishna says, no, but I want to meet you. So then how will they come together? What will bring them two together, the catalyst? So that's the mandri. But then there's a foil, a counter foil, as Lalita comes in and says, oh no, don't bring them together. Keep them apart. And mandri says, no, but Krishna wants to meet. No, we don't want to meet. So now there's Lalita's projection, her wishes, because that'll increase Krishna's heart. Krishna will become more attached and more attentive to Radharani, more attracted to Radharani, and more attached to Radharani, and more absorbed in Radharani when she's harder to get. Just like if some man in this world wants to catch some lady, and she's playing like, oh, I'm not interested, and get lost, then it becomes more of a challenge, it becomes more inspiring, and you become more obsessed. The man becomes more obsessed with that lady. Oh, she's saying no. But I think she likes me. Whatever. This way, that way. So this same types of, in a very pure way, of course, in the spiritual world, these emotions are there. So this is a very nice verse. It's showing the unique position of the mandris and how near and dear they are to Sri Krishna himself, and what to speak of near and dear to Radharani. What the sakis can't do. Krishna knows that if he goes to Lalita, asks Lalita, oh Lalita, will you help me meet Radharani? Get out from here! He won't even, he just starts to approach Lalita and she'll start bombarding him with a barrage of bartsana. Bartsana means rebukes and chastisement. Don't even think of coming to me! Where are you going? You're coming to talk to me? Don't even try. Just turn around. Krishna doesn't want to face that humiliation in front of Lalita's chastisement, so he tries to go in the back door. Because in the front door of the kunja is Lalita guarding. Lalita, Vishaka, Asasakis. So Krishna goes to the soft side, the Manjari's, hey, you're a nice Manjari, and I'll give you some nice prasadam, and you help me, I'll help you, and we can work together. And okay, what do you want? And I'm falling at your feet. Oh, Manjari, please help me. Prabhupada once said, he said on a tape, he said, humility, too much humility is a sign of a thief. So if you hire some maid or some house servant working for you, cleaning dishes and washing floors and whatnot, cleaning clothes, yes sir, they're very humble. And Prabhupada said, you have to be careful because they're really too humble and they may be stealing your silverware or stealing something here and there and from your house, your rings are not looking or whatever. So he said, too much humility. So Krishna is coming too much humble in front of the Manjari. So they know that he wants to steal some favor from them. That he's too much humility is a sign of a thief. But he's a chore. Krishna is a certified chore. Chore means thief. He's a certified, official, copyrighted thief. And he began when he was so small. You know, when he was 6 days old, he was hardly born. He stole the life. It's called pranahari. Pranahari means to steal. Hari means to steal. Prana means life. It is putana pranahari. It's another name for Krishna. Putana. Putana rakshashi. Putana rakshashi pranahari. Putana rakshashi pranahari sham. So Krishna, he stole the life air, the life. Pranahari stole the life, which means he killed Putana when he was 6 days old. So he's been stealing life airs, and what to speak of makanchor, stealing butter and yogurt at the age of one years old. As soon as he could walk, he was stealing. As soon as Krishna could walk, he was stealing. As soon as Krishna could talk, he was lying. And as soon as Krishna could think, he was and rationalize, he was cheating. So at the earliest of ages, Krishna was lying, stealing, and cheating. And Ananda Kanda Bhagavan ki jai. But this is the Krishna we worship. The big thief, the big cheat, the big liar. Huh? Yeah, Bhavis. Well, Grace push tag. Anyway, whatever. All stuff small in one box. So this is verse number 3, and I think that's it for today. Maybe we can get together again and do some more verses. Sri Stavavali ki jai, Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai.